2 Samuel chapter 3. As Pastor said, I am aware of the time. I'll go as quickly as I can. Please try to keep up. I know I talk fast sometimes. We're in 2 Samuel chapter 3. Just want to thank all the teens for an awesome week. You made my week awesome. You did. You don't realize, I think I told you during the week, but this is my dream come true. It's my dream come true. And a service like this is a dream come true. You know what God did in their lives. And 2 Samuel chapter 3. Great job singing, by the way. 2 Samuel chapter 3. I'll quickly just tell you what the chapter is about. In 2 Samuel chapter 3, we see in verse 1, I won't read it, you can just listen. We see that there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. There was war going on between the house of Saul and the house of David. Saul was already dead. But there was a war still going on. And it says in this chapter that the house of Saul began to get stronger and stronger and stronger. But the house of Saul was getting weaker and weaker and weaker. There was difference going on. And Abner's in this chapter. The man Abner, he was the commander of Saul's army. Now Abner had known David from a youth. He was actually the one that got David ready to go face Goliath. But now he was the commander of the army of Saul and also the army of Ish-bosheth, which was Saul's son's army. He was also the commander of that army, Abner. Well, in this chapter, we see that Abner's loyalty to King Saul was questioned. They accused Abner of doing something that he didn't do, and he got mad. His loyalty was questioned. So what he does is, in his anger, when they question him about his loyalty, he just switches sides. He goes and starts supporting David's army. He switched sides. And it says down in verse 17 that Abner had communication with the elders of Israel. He got all the leaders of Israel together. All of David's men, all these leaders in David's city, he got all these people together, all the elders, and he said something like this. He said, I'll read it and then I'll explain. He said, ye sought for David in times past to be king over you. What he really was saying was, he said, guys, he said, you know, leaders of Israel, he said, you've wanted David to be your king before, right? You've wanted him to be your king. Verse 18 is where I'll take my title tonight. In verse 18, he says this. After he says, you wanted David to be your king? Verse 18, now then do it. Now then do it. For the Lord has spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of all their enemies. He said, guys, you want David to be your king, right? You've wanted that for a while. Well, just do it. Just make him your king. Just do it. Now then do it. Just do it. I mean, there's a lot of things that we just do. I know my little boy Donald Jr. He's just getting so big, and I love just watching him crawl around, and he's getting ready to start walking soon. And Donald doesn't have to think a lot about what he's going to do. I know he does, but you know that. And pardon me for the illustration, but it's the only one I could really think of when it came to Donald. But if Donald has to go, you know what he's going to do? He's just going to go. He's not going to think about it. He's just going to fill his diaper. That's the way he does. He just does it. He just does it. If he's thirsty, he doesn't have to think about getting drink. No, if he can find that sippy cup, he's running around for it and he grabs it and starts chugging. He just does it. You know that if I'm thirsty and I want a drink of water, and I mean, even right now, I think I'll take a drink, but if I want a drink of water, if you're thirsty, your throat's dry, you haven't drank anything in a long time and you're thirsty and you see a water fountain, you know what you probably don't do? You probably don't say, well, you know, what if while I'm walking over to the water fountain, I trip and fall and hurt myself? Well, what if the water's too warm? Or what if it's too cold? Or what if the cups are too small? No. You know what you do? You just go over and you just do it. You just get a drink of water. You just do it. You know, as Christians, there's a lot of things that we need to just do. There's a lot of things that we need to just do. We're going to talk about several of those things tonight as quickly as I can. But there's a lot of things as Christians that we need to just do it. We need to just do it. Do you know that a lot of times in my life, and maybe you can say the same, but the things that I need to do as a Christian, I a lot of times make excuses. Make excuses of why I don't need to, or why I shouldn't, or why it's a bad idea, and I don't do it. We make excuses. So tonight I'm going to just give a list of several things that we need as Christians to just do. Just do it. Lord, we love you. God, I ask you to give me strength tonight, God. Please, Lord, help me as I preach. Lord, use me. Give me your power. Lord, help the teens to be listening, the adults and everybody in here. Lord, please convict my own heart, God. Do a mighty work tonight, Lord. I need you. I need your power. I know that I'm nothing without you. Lord, there's things that as Christians we need to just do. Lord, help us to be a challenge. Your precious name. Amen. Just pray. Just pray. The Bible says pray without ceasing. You know, that doesn't mean you got to pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, constantly talking and talking to God, constantly. No, what that means, when it says pray without ceasing, it's almost like the illustration of an airplane and that tower, where the communications tower. They're not always talking, but there's always a line of communication. Pray without ceasing. The Bible commands us to pray. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Just pray. Jesus said after he did that miracle, he said, this forth cometh only by prayer and fasting. As Christians, we need to just pray. We need to just pray. Man, you can ask yourself the question sometimes, well, Pastor Don, well, why isn't God providing for me? Are you praying? Hey, why isn't my family saved and in church? Are you praying for them? Hey, why isn't my job getting better? Are you praying? Are you praying? We need to just pray. So are you praying? Are you praying like you should be? Oh, I don't pray like I should. I know I don't. But are you praying? You know, the average Christian prays 3 minutes a day. That's sad. The average Christian prays 3 minutes a day. Oh, we just need to pray, folks. This is a simple, practical message of things that we need to do as Christians, things that I need to do. Just pray. Just pray. Just talk to God. Just talk to Him. I was in college and I remember sitting through a message once and I was struggling with my walk with God. I was struggling in my walk. I knew I was. I was busy with classes and I was sleeping in, and I remember sitting in chapel and the message was over and the invitation was over and they were dismissing back to classes. And I remember sitting there in the pew. I remember it clear as day. I'm sitting in the pew and I'm thinking, Donald, your walk with God stinks right now. I said, how are you going to get back on track? And then it just clicked with me. I said, I need to just do it. I need to just read my Bible in the morning. It's nothing I need to pray about. I need to just do it. I need to just get up. I need to pray. It's not something I need to plan. I just need to do it. I need to just do it. Just do it. Hey, it's very easy. You know, what is the reason why I don't get up and do my devotions back in college? You know, what I would do is I hit the snooze. Or I'd put other things in front of that. All I need to do is just put God first and just pray. Just to do it. Just do it. Just pray. You know, in the ministry, and I know pastors can say the same, and for myself, you'd think that it's all, wow, they're preachers. They probably have hours and hours and hours to pray all day long. Man, I thought that in college. I remember saying, well, I can't wait to one day be in the ministry so I can you know, have all this time to walk with God. It doesn't happen like that. It doesn't work like that. We're busy, you know we're busy. We plan things, we have hospital calls, and we do our best, and I know I do my best, I'll speak for myself, to walk with God on a daily basis, but it's difficult sometimes. It's hard. Things come up, emergencies come up, and I need to remember in my life, I need to just pray. I need to put everything else aside and say, God, I'm getting alone with you today, and I'm gonna walk and I'm gonna talk with you because I need to. And as Christians, you do the same. Whether you're in the ministry or whether you're a doctor or whatever you do. You need to just pray. That's something that you just, one of the things you need to just do is you need to just pray. We know the song that goes, prayer is just as big as God is. Prayer is just as strong as God is strong. Prayer can reach as far as God can reach. Don't ever give up, just pray, just pray. Don't ever give up, just pray. Oh, folks, we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray. We need to just read the Bible. We need to just read God's Word. It's the second thing. Just read the Bible. Just read God's Word. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We need to just read the Bible. Oh Lord, forgive me for not reading like I should. We need to just do it. We need to just read the Bible. You don't need to think about it. Just do it. Just read God's Word. Say, I don't understand it. Read it anyway. Just do it. Just read God's Word. I'm blessed to have so many copies of God's Word in my office and at home. Just so many. And there's countries that don't have the Bible. And if they had just one copy, even just one page, they'd probably read that page over and over and over again. Because it's the Word of God. And I have so many and I don't read it like I should.
You need to just read the Bible. When's the last time you really read the Bible? I'm not talking about the response of Scripture reading on Sunday mornings. I'm talking about when's the last time you got alone with God and said, Lord, speak to me through your Word. You read your Bible. When's the last time that any of us have? When's the last time? And we wonder why we're discouraged, and we wonder why we're sad, and we wonder why we're angry, and we wonder why we're scared of life. It's because we're not reading the Bible. We're not reading God's Word. We're not letting Him speak to us. We just got to read the Bible. Just read God's Word, folks. This is simple, simple stuff. And I'm not a very smart guy. I need this. This is what challenges me. Just pray. Just read your Bible. Just read your Bible. I remember again at college, it was, you know, this is my sophomore year and back in 2009, and I was struggling. I was struggling in my walk with God. I was struggling with finances and with classes, and I had a lot of responsibility. I was a class chaplain. I was a bus captain, and I was just letting everything kind of pile on top of me, and I was getting really discouraged. I remember I was in my room alone, and I think I skipped one of my classes just to sulk. I remember sitting in there, like, you know, I need to just read my Bible. You know, I didn't really expect to get anything out of it. That was my bad attitude. That's my sin. But I took this Bible. I took this Bible. This exact Bible was on my bookshelf in my dorm room. I remember really just kind of sitting down, discouraged, just sitting down and opening up to something, and I came to John chapter 14. And this may not speak to your heart, but it spoke to mine that day. And I looked at John 14, and it says in verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled." And it was like God just reached down and took my hand. And folks, the trials that I was facing that day were nothing compared to what some of you face on a daily basis. It was nothing. It's petty stuff. I look back and I say, why were you such a baby? But on that day, I was discouraged. Some of you may be discouraged today. Some of you teens may be discouraged right now, sitting here. This encouraged me. This encouraged me. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." It goes on about the mansions He's going to prepare for us. And the Lord just began to just move in my spirit. And I began to well up with tears. And I thought, God, You're speaking to me right now. You're speaking to me. Oh, that thrilled my soul. It got down and it said in verse 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it." Oh, and I was struggling financially. I didn't have the money to pay my school bill, and I was getting ready to give up. And God told me, "If he shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Not I might do it, but I will do it." Oh, God encouraged my heart. In verse 18, He said, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And folks, that morning, I know that the Lord came to me. Oh, He stirred my heart. He gave me a new song. He gave me joy. He made me realize how petty those problems were, and how if I just trusted in Him, He'd help me. And I remember I wrote this right here. 9/14, September 14th, 2009, and I wrote down, "Even in the midst of all troubles and trials, Jesus Christ said, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you." And I put here, this is just my personality, I put, "Woohoo!" Because I was excited. And I said, "No job, no money, and a lot of responsibility, but He will come to me if I draw to Him." Oh, folks, we need to just read the Bible. We need to just get back to God's Word. Your kids are struggling. Maybe your family life is struggling. Maybe you're personally struggling in your own life. Just read the Bible. Just read the Bible. Oh, folks, get back to what's the basics. Important stuff. Read the Bible. Just go to church. Simple. Just go to church. Bible says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." It's pretty black and white right there, folks. not forsake the assembling ourselves together. We need to just go to church. We need to just be in God's house when the doors are open. Oh, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Just go to church. Hey, I have to go to church. I'm the youth pastor. But I'll tell you, I by the grace of God, I would hope that if I was back home or back in Holyoke and I was working a full-time job and the Lord did not lead us here, I'd hope that I would be in church every time the doors were open. Because you know what? I've seen the Lord work in my heart, and it wasn't while I was home watching TV, and it wasn't while I was working overtime. It was while I was in God's house when He spoke to my heart. And thank you folks are here tonight. You're just doing it. You're in church. Praise God. But we need to not forget that. Just go to church. Some of us, we take the verse that says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. And we say, well, I'm pretty sure there's at least three people in there tonight, so they should be all set. I can just stay home. Doesn't work like that, folks. Doesn't work like that. Just go to church. Just go to church. I think about it in my own heart. The verse says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Why should we even think about forsaking? Why should I even think about it? Why should I even consider? It's almost like we're saying, so should I disobey God tonight or no? For me, that's convicting. Should I disobey a commandment of God tonight or should I obey? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Just go to church. Just go to church. Don't you want to be where Jesus is? I know the Lord says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, but God does His great works in churches like this and in His house. Oh, the disciples were with Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration, and it says in the Gospels that they were asleep, and Jesus got up on the mountain, and it says He began to glow and glisten and white, and He was shining, and Moses and Elijah were there with Him, and these great and mighty things were happening. And the disciples woke up, and Peter looked up, and he saw Jesus in all of His glory up on the mountain, and was just amazed by it. And Jesus came back down, and Peter said this. Peter said, Master, it is good for us to be here. It is good for us to be here, because he saw God doing great things. He saw God doing great works. He saw the Holy Christ in all of His glory doing a mighty work. And he said, it's good for us to be here. Folks, let me remind you that this is Loomis Park Baptist Church, and it is good for us to be here. Because this is the place where Jesus Christ abides, and this is where He's doing a great work through our preacher and through the ministries here. Hey, this is a great place, and you should think in your heart, it's good for me to be here. Just go to church. Just go to church. Be faithful to God's house. Be faithful to the services. Be faithful to the activities. Hey, be faithful to the fellowships that we have as a body of believers. Just go to church. Just go to church. Just witness. Just tell other people about Jesus Christ. Just witness. The Bible says in throughout the Gospels, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Go, 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 go. God tells us to go. He says, go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come unto me, that my house may be filled. He said, go. Just go to church. Just go to church. Just witness. Just tell other people about Him. The Bible says in Jude 22, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Just tell other people. Just witness. Lord, help me to just be a witness for Him. Keith gave that, want to be a bolder witness. Buddy, it's hard sometimes, I understand, especially at work. But you need to just do it. Just witness. Just tell your coworkers about Him. I'm not saying stop work and hey, we're going to have a preaching service right now. No, but God will give you opportunities. Just witness. Just be a witness. Don't have to think of a plan. Just do it. Just do it. Just tell others about Jesus Christ. And it says in Jude as well, and others saved with fear, pulling Him out of the fire. Hey, that's what we're doing, folks, when we witness. When we tell others, planting those seeds. Oh, Thursday, soul winning this week. You know what we're going to be doing? We're just going to be witnessing. Just telling others about Jesus Christ. Just sharing Christ. And Saturdays at 11 o'clock, you know what we're doing? We're just telling people about Jesus Christ. Just tell others. Just do it. Just do it. Just witness. You say, well, I hang out with my family on Saturday morning and on Thursday nights. Well, you know what? I know as a kid, I remember my dad driving our family Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock for bus calling. And you know what? Those are memories that I will never forget. I remember serving with my family and as a little boy, cleaning the church house. Hey, those are memories that I do not regret. Hey, you know what you can do for a great family memory? Serve God. Tell people about Jesus Christ. That's a great family memory. Hey, that's what I want my son and my kids to have memories of. Telling other people about Jesus Christ. Oh, just tell people. Just share Christ. They need it. They need it. It's our duty. Just tell people about Christ. Just be a witness. Just serve God. Just serve God. The Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness. It doesn't say serve the Lord if they need you. It doesn't say serve the Lord if it's easy. It doesn't say serve the Lord if it fits your schedule. It doesn't say serve the Lord if you're married or if you're an adult. It says serve the Lord with gladness. That's what the Bible says. It says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Just serve God. Just serve God. There's so many ministries here at Loomis Park Baptist Church that we need help in, that many of you serve in. Many of you are already serving God. Praise the Lord. But may we never stop. Oh, serving God in the nursery or singing in the choir. Singing in the choir is serving God. And I'll tell you, we need more people to sing in the choir. We do need more people for the choir. Maybe you can serve God like that. In the nursery, as an usher, as a bus worker, or in junior church, or truth trackers, or on the piano, or the organ, or as anything. Cleaning. Just serving God. Just serving God. We need to just do it. We need to just do it. You know, serving God has many benefits. I won't go through them. We know that we reap crowns in heaven, and we even see fruit here on earth sometimes from serving God. But you know that when you get saved, you're a child of God. We're supposed to be His servants. We're supposed to serve God. And you know, so many times it's almost like, I did this, I won't tell the story at all. I know I'm almost through. But I remember when I had a job back in Massachusetts, I had two places I was applying, and one of them called me. And I said, okay, great, I'll start tomorrow. Well, I went to the wrong job the next day. And I walked in and I said, hey, is it all right if I park over here? Is that fine? They said, yeah, okay. I said, good, good, good. And they said, wait a second, who are you? I said, hey, I got the phone call. I'm starting today. I'm ready to work. I'm ready to work. Here we go. I said, and they looked through some papers and they said, no, he didn't. That's discouraging, guys. And I honestly, I didn't know where I worked. I had applied at many places in this one city. So I had two that were in mind, but the other one had called me. I left that place not knowing where I was working. I'm like, well, praise the Lord, I got a job. I just don't know where it is. But just imagine this. This didn't happen. But imagine that they tell me, you're not hired here. We didn't hire you. I say, okay. And then a couple hours later, the boss goes out to the yard where they're doing in the junkyard where they're working. And he sees me there, you know, changing the oil on a car or working on something or throwing some stuff away. And he says, hey, what are you doing here, buddy? I say, hey, I'm working. Just working. He says, well, you don't work here. You're not hired here. Oh, I know. I'm just helping. You're pretty stupid. Especially if I have another job that I can't be making money at. And I just keep working, really for the wrong person. And as Christians, sometimes, yes, we're like hired servants of God. We're saved. We're Christians. We're supposed to be servants of God, but we're working for somebody else. Working for maybe ourselves. We're serving, in some cases, the devil, doing what he wants and following our flesh. When we should be working for God and reaping the benefits, but we're working for somebody else. Just serve God. Just serve God. There's so many other things that I could talk about. I'm not going to tonight. Just help others. Hey, that's a good one. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who have the household of faith. Just help others. Hey, just obey the rules. Just obey the rules. I could go on forever with things like that. Things we need to just do. But I'll just keep with those five. Just pray. Just read the Bible. Just go to church. Just witness. Just serve God. Just do it. It applies to everything. That phrase, just do it, applies to everything. We need to just do it. You say, Pastor Donald, but I'm not old enough to do those things. Just do it. Just do it. You say, well, not that side, but I'm too old to do those things. Just do it. Just do it. You say, well, Pastor Donald, I'm unemployed and I'm looking for a job. What should I do? Just do it. Just do it. Just make it happen. You say, well, I work a full-time job and I'm tired. Just do it. Just do it because God said, just do it. I'm in debt. How do I get out of debt? How do I fix this financial problem? Just do it. Just make it happen. You say, life is so hard. Just do it. I don't know what to say when I'm praying. How do I pray? Just do it. I don't understand God's word when I read it. Hey, just do it. There's no ministry here for me. I don't know what to do. Just do it. What if they reject me when I knock on their door or pass out that tract? Just do it. Just do it, do it, do it. Until the job is done. Folks, just do it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around.